Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Buzz!
Support for Two Old Queens is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world.
I love an innuendo. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for all your family jewels. Wink, wink. Wink, wink.
Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0.
You should join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. We have an exclusive offer for you. You're not going to believe this. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TWOOLDQUEENS, T-W-O, Old Queens, at manscaped.com. Can you believe it?
The Manscaped, I have to give it to it. It has a really nice hand feel. Like, it feels so good in your hand. It's got heft. It fits just right in your hand.
It does feel great, you know? And it's got a light on it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can see what you're doing down there. It's perfect.
And it's really, like, I've used, like, other trimmers before, and let's just say
a bit of
a laborious process. I've, you know, got some nicks and scratches. This isn't exactly an area where scabs are appealing.
No, absolutely not.
But I used the Lawnmower 4.0, and it was really easy and fast.
Yeah, it's like a dream. It has a nice, lovely buzz and hum to it.
A hum.
A nice hum. You can use it in the shower. It's waterproof.
You know, they engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade. We love ceramics. Reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe. That's a trademark technology.
It even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard lengths. So their sizes, 1 through 4 sizes, are important.
What did you go with, John?
What I went with, a three,
something a little three. More conservative.
It's slightly conservative, but it's not
Chris
too...
Winter's coming.
Exactly. You gotta stay protected.
You wanted a scarf, not a tank top kind of thing.
Exactly.
And did I mention wireless charging?
You have not mentioned wireless charging yet.
I can't believe everyone I talk to on the street, I'm saying wireless charging. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm talking about the Lawnmower 4.0. It uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery life last longer.
Guys, if you've been shaving with the same nut trimmer on your face, you have been doing it wrong. Nobody wants to end up with a sort of ball sack beard.
But it's not going to happen with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. Make me time the best time.
And your balls will thank you.
It's about goddamn time. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code TWOOLDQUEENS. That's T-W-O, Old Queens, at manscaped.com.
Yes, once again, that's 20% off, T-W-E-N-T-Y percent off, with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code TWOOLDQUEENS, T-W-O, Old Queens.
That's all we got to say about that, I think. So please order it. And now, on with the show.
One is Mark and John's the other. They love the holidays and the presents. It's Dork Queens, it's Dork Queens. It's the Merry Happy Holidays Jubilee. It's Dork Queens, it's Dork Queens.
Five golden rings.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so delighted about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're an actor and writer who's worked on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and the upcoming movie Mac and Rita. It's Madeline Walter.
Yay. Hello.
Hello.
I'm just so happy to be here, you guys.
We're so happy to have you.
In this communal space we create over Zoom, you know, are we in the metaverse? This might be the metaverse.
What is the metaverse?
It's like, you know, it's just artificial, you know, digital spaces where you connect with other people. It's been forever, but it's stupid.
This is it.
This is the metaverse.
We're living the metaverse. Mm-hmm.
And you're here, the first episode of our Holidays Jubilee 2021, kicking it off. That's Are you true. A big, do you go nuts for the holidays?
You know, I not really. I don't.
No, I'm take it or leave them.
I am perfectly happy for the holidays, but I wish them no ill will. I feel like I'm happy that I got to do a Thanksgiving movie because I do think Thanksgiving is my favorite winter holiday.
Really?
Yes. Because I love, a very like uninteresting reason to like it, but I just love Thanksgiving food. I love it.
I think it's the best reason.
I just think
that would
it's
be the thing to love Thanksgiving
food.
For. Yeah.
I love having a big meal.
And different on cornucopias is what I'm hearing.
Yes. Yes. Give me a bunch of food. Have it. I'll be spilling out of a gourd or
Gotta
a horn.
Have empty out that gourd.
Spilling out of a horn and, you know, sign me up.
I always like to do, I like the Macy's Day Parade, even though it's not as good as the Rose Parade, the New Year's Day one.
Oh.
It's a lesser parade, I would say.
Thanksgiving is lesser than Rose?
Yes. Rose has more, it's less commercials.
On television, or it's less commercial.
Both. I would say both. It's less commercial.
Huh. I've never watched the Rose Parade. What is it? What's the vibe?
Oh, it's like roses. Floats. It's covered in like flowers and like, but they're pretty like there's the Trader Joe's float or like
Joe's
commercial with their Trader Joe's.
Well, they're not selling like it's not like Nestle Corporation or Halliburton presents like
you have
the
very
M&M
weird unclear lines, Mark. It's Trader Joe's. It's not Nestle.
I'm
just
so
saying it's more charming.
Trader
it's more. It feels more local. It's, I don't know. There's a hometown because it's like put on by the city of Pasadena, and there's like marching bands and things
so
like
it's
that.
Local, gotcha.
People on
and
horses.
And we do love Pasadena.
Sure.
We love Pasadena.
Love a welcoming in a new year with the locals of Pasadena.
But I'll watch the Macy's Day Parade. But it's always like musical artists you've never heard of, but like you may have seen them on the big screen at City Walk. You're like, who are these? Are just people signed to like Universal labels, I guess.
Probably.
Yes. Oh, can I say my absolute favorite like Thanksgiving Day Parade coverage I have ever seen was last year. Verizon had some like sponsored content where Ross Matthews just wandered around the parade and seems to have had no script, nobody told him what to do. He was just like vamping to high heavens. He was like he was on the outskirts of the like parade ground where people were prepping and rehearsing. And just like, it was also sort of in the midst of like high COVID. So like, everyone seemed nervous. Everyone felt weird. And it was just like Ross being like going up to like a security guy and being like, is that a whistle?
Yeah.
He genuinely like, if you want to see someone create something out of nothing for what seemed like 4 to 5 hours, try to find that somewhere.
I remember watching that. It was like, they sent him out with like a twink and a GoPro and they were like, do parade coverage. And he was like, okay.
You know, and he was just like going on like these long tangents about, he was like, and you know me, I love a glass of wine. Yeah. These days my routine's a little different. You know, it was like.
We wish him nothing but the best. Started as, wasn't he just an Jay's intern. Intern? Like, but wasn't he billed? Was he billed as just, he was just billed as like
Ross
Jay's
the intern.
Intern
is what he was.
Ross the intern. And then now look at him.
Yeah.
I love
good
him.
For him.
Bossy now he's on the Drew Bossy Barrymore Rossi. Show all the time. Yeah. Bossy Rossi.
Bossy Rossi.
he's a titan of the industry and a career we should all aspire to.
I mean, I could not agree you could more. Do a lot worse.
You could do yeah. a lot worse than Ross Matthews. Yeah. Speaking of perverse, today we're oh talking God. About House of Yes. John, what's the deal with the House of Yes?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with House of Yes. It was directed and written by Mark Waters, adapted from the play of the same name by Wendy McLeod. And it tells the story of a mentally unbalanced young woman who is convinced she is Jackie Kennedy, who flies into a murderous rage when her brother returns home to reveal he is engaged. It stars Parker Posey, Josh Hamilton, Genevieve Bugeaud, Freddie Prinze Jr., Tori Spelling, and Rachel Lee Cook. It was released on October 10th, 1997. It made $626,057 off a budget of $1.5 million. When it was released, it received a divided critical reaction. Mark Savlov of the Austin Chronicle acknowledged the strong performance of the cast, but stated, "It's just that there's really not all that much for them to do." And Owen Gleiberman of Entertainment Weekly wrote, "The House of Yes is knowingly overripe, a kitschy melodrama that dares to make incest sexy," and noted that Parker Posey may never have a role that suits her as perfectly. And in fact, Posey won a Sundance Award for her performance, but Tori Spelling was nominated for a Razzie Award for Worst New Star for this and Scream 2. And that is the deal with House of Yes.
So Madeline, we gave you the impossible task of picking a Thanksgiving movie, and you chose The House of Yes. Why The House of Yes?
Well, because I guess Pieces of April had already been done.
We did that.
Yes. And so I think that would have been my pick. Sure. And then I don't know. I was scrolling through Thanksgiving movies and
as you do, your Google alert went off.
And I didn't have like a favorite movie that was sure. a Thanksgiving movie. I saw right. like a lot of movies that I was surprised were about Thanksgiving, but a lot that I hadn't seen. And House of Yes, I don't know why, but it had been on my radar for a while. It was like one of those that I sort of wanted to have seen, but never wanted to watch.
Sure.
Was
like also, writing or working.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But I feel like that like cover of Parker Posey in the Jackie O, yeah. like that sort of, that like the poster or whatever, like feels very yes. iconic. And yeah. I was shocked to see that it was a Thanksgiving movie. And I thought like, well, let's see what this is all about. I feel like it won't be your traditional Thanksgiving flick.
This is true. It's a tad a reference.
Well, and I believe, and I don't know if this is like too much of a peek behind the curtain, but Mark, you know, Mark and I were texting and I presented a few options.
Oh, yes.
It was House of Yes, Grumpy Old Men, which I had yeah. never seen, and a very like haunting looking Jim Henson Thanksgiving movie called Turkey Hollow, where the turkeys are all like horrifying looking puppets.
They're creepy.
Yeah. And so we went with House of Yes.
Well, what did you think of
that? That was the least creepy option.
Do you wish we watched Turkey Hollow? What did you think of?
I loved it. I thought it was, you know, it sort of surprised me at every turn. I mean, I knew it. I didn't, I guess the plot didn't really surprise me.
No, right.
You're sort of like, I was surprised at how quickly the incest was brought out into the open and spoken to. I thought it would sort of be like a slow incest burn. And then at the end, I guess gotcha. The big reveal would be.
We're used to an incest reveal, not a.
Not so soon.
Not so.
Yeah, so soon. I felt like
establishing.
Yeah. 40 minutes in, we sort of learned in no unambiguous terms that these right. twins had been fucking.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. I liked how written it was. I yes. like yeah. loved what a play it felt like. I was like, here for Parker Posey's performance. Yeah. And it was, I watched it on an evening where Ben and I were sitting down and like debating what to watch. And it was either this or that new Apple TV Plus movie where it's like just Tom Hanks, a dog, and a robot.
Finch.
Yes. Yes.
That also has a very upsetting incest storyline.
So we, the robot. We were like, okay, let's like watch 5 minutes of each and see what sort of is our
sampler.
Yeah. And 5 minutes of this, I had way more questions than 5 minutes of watching like Tom Hanks drive around in the dust.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you made the good choice.
I feel like I did. And if we hadn't chosen that, we would have to be talking about Finch.
You have to.
I'm so glad we're not talking about Finch. Movie.
What did you think of House of Yes, John?
I had seen it before a long time ago. It's one of my husband's favorite movies. So I think I hadn't seen it when we started dating, and it was one of those, not tests, but you know how like early on in a relationship, you're like, this is an important title for me. And so you have to be like, okay, I have to like this the right way. But I do like, I agree. I mean, you can tell it's based on a play, but that doesn't bother me so much. Parker Posey, I think, is incredible. Like, absolutely. Like, how do you come up with this performance? It was so great, so crazy, such a big swing in such a fun, delightful way. I sort of get that. I agree a little bit that, I mean, it at times reminded me of like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. All the actors are really great and fun. I don't know. I overall enjoyed it, but I get that it's somewhat slight, but it also is 85 minutes. So it doesn't overstay its welcome. That's for sure. And I agree. It doesn't really quite feel like a Thanksgiving movie. I don't think they even get to Thanksgiving. That there's no turkey.
No.
They barely get to the croissants.
No Hawaiian rolls.
There is no food in this house. It's such a good, to me, it was like, even though it was really heightened, it was such an accurate portrayal of like the feeling of being in a crazy person's house.
Sure.
Yeah. Rich, crazy.
A rich, crazy person.
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
who can
yes,
afford, yes. Right? They can afford to be crazy.
Yes.
How about you, Mark? What is your history with the House of Yes?
I think I'd seen it before. I had an ex-boyfriend who was like obsessed with it as well, but it was not why we broke up. But I think Parker Posey is the best thing about it. It is like kind of slight, like I wish they got a little deeper into like the why of it all. But the dialogue is sometimes very like funny to me because it'll be things will you turn on the radio? What radio? On the table. The radio's on the table. It's just like all this like circular, just like, yeah, we get it. This was written, God. It's just all kind of like arch, you know? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Come over here. Where? Here. Me? Yes. Then? Okay. You know?
I feel like arch, like I feel like arch is one of those writer words that people always use. And I never exactly I like sort of understand generally what they mean, but I don't actually know what it means. And now I know, like, I feel like that's, this is arch.
It's just like super stylized, right?
Yeah.
It's
just like super stylized. Like I probably think that works in the theater where things have to be heightened to like resonate, you know, but in a movie, it kind of feels like almost fake in a way.
Yes.
Yeah, because like in theater, you have to write descriptions in some ways. In the ways like with the movie, you'd be like, just show a close up of the radio.
Yeah, it's fine.
In theater, everybody's so far away, they might not hear it, so they need to hear it.
The second mezzanine doesn't know where the radio is. We need to tell them.
Where's the radio?
First screaming rule of the theater. Repeat.
Ad nauseam.
That reminds me, years ago, when I was working in St. Louis, there's a theater in St. Louis called the Muni, which is a 14,000 seat outdoor theater. Like, it's enormous.
Wow.
And so people who do shows there, they like, especially if you are like a townsperson has one line, they're all told like, you have to raise your hand or do a big gesture right before you or as you say your line so people know where it's coming from, because people
amazing.
Are literally like blocks away.
I would want to have like a tray of champagne flutes that I dropped every time right before I said a line. Mother's in the hospital. That I had to pick them up. Hold on, I have another line.
Here comes that clumsy butler again.
Well, it sounds like we're all said yes to the House of Yes.
So I'm saying yes.
We're all saying yes. As you may or may not know, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. If we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a bunch of categories. And at the end, or at one point, you are going to come up with a category that will be added to the wheel. Does that make any sense? No. Does it matter? No. We'll explain it when we get to it. So will you please relax?
No.
Anyways. God. Anyways, this is our current top five gayest movies ever. In fifth place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In fourth place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In third place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In second place with a 92.99%, The Bride and Frankenstein. And number one, still current rating over a year now, I believe, 94.83%, Female Trouble.
Okay, Madeline, so if you had to guess now, how well do you think House of Yes is going to do?
I think it's... I don't think it's going to beat Madonna, but I think it's going to do, I think it'll do okay. I think, well, how much does Madonna Truth or Dare get?
It's at a 90.37%.
Oh, that's pretty. Okay. I'm going to guess an 80. I'm going to guess this 80? At okay. an
80.
It's just sort of a, it's, I haven't overthought it. I'm
smart.
That's just my gut.
That's the way to go. With
so, so that's that.
I will say that our previous Thanksgiving movie, Pieces of April, is 79th with a 53.44%.
Wow. Okay. So I would love, I think we're going to beat Pieces of April.
We're going to kick April to the curb.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out. So this first group of categories are the canon categories. So for each of these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. All right. So the first one, Madeline, how would you rate House of Yes in actual gay characters?
There are none, right?
I mean,
you know, I know we can, so, like, obviously, sure, like, sure, sexuality is a spectrum and all of us likely exist on, know, but, like, if we're talking about, like, a character who I believe identifies as gay, I don't think any of these five characters do. Four? How many?
According to Leslie, everyone in New York is gay, though, in the movie. There is, but unfortunately, they don't appear in the movie. Yeah,
she did think Marty was gay because he pulled out a chair for her.
Someone asked if he was gay.
She has low standards. Yeah, it was. I was looking. Why is Tori Spelling in this? Like, oh, her father produced the movie. Now it all makes sense.
But I actually think she was good in this.
She was fine. Yeah.
No, I think people. I thought she was really fun. I thought she played that part exactly as it was like meant to be played.
And yeah, she didn't seem like the classic like Tori Spelling like rich kid. You know, I believed her as like a donut queen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I thought she was very good in this.
I don't think she deserved that Razzie.
No one does. The Razzies are a corrupt organization.
Well, do you guys know I performed in the Razzie Awards ceremony one year?
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
They didn't ask you back?
What happened? What did you do?
It was the year that Black Swan came out, and I sort of did many a sketch appearance in a Black Swan sketch. And like somebody, I don't remember how, it was like at that time when like sort of people would vaguely find you through UCB and like, I just said yes to like absolutely and utterly everything. And like the man who invented the Razzies is like running, he runs the Razzie Award ceremony, like kind of like a, I don't know, like almost like a bit of a local theater production. It was like a lot of the same people every year, and they were all super nice. It was like, honestly, it was like a really, it was a really fun experience. We like worked on the scripts at someone's house, and then the ceremony was at the theater in the Barnstall Art Park or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I know I'm wildly derailing us, but I just sort of
on a podcast no
about the Razzies without thinking about the one, to do you know, sort of the one Razzies that I was able to participate in.
Well, we'll see how Mac and Rita does next.
Yes,
year.
yes. Fingers crossed.
So what do we want to give actual gay characters for?
I mean,
what do you want to give House ES in actual gay characters?
I feel like it's zero, right?
I think that's fair. I think that's a very reasonable.
It's fair. It is, because this is a play, like there literally are six actors in this movie. And one of them is Rachel Lee Cook, who you only see in like weird video reenactments. That's supposed to be, I think, a young Parker Posey.
Yeah. I'll give it a 5 because Tori Spelling mentions some gay people in New York.
Everyone in New York.
Yeah, usually we can kind of go like, oh, they're in crowds. They're shopping at Macy's. There's got to be some gay people there.
Right. But
yeah.
There's like, someone dressed those mannequins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a guy behind the register. Definitely gay.
Obviously, apparently Tori Spelling's character does not have gay friends if we have to go by how she's dressed. Like, who is doing you wrong?
Wow. Oof. That outfit was a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll also go 5, maybe for the footage of Lady Bird Johnson.
Sure. I'll give it a Any number over zero feels generous.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I'll give it a 2.
All right.
Put in an average of 4, which is 0.67 points lower than our previous Parker Posey movie, Scream 3. Mm. All right. Our next one might do well here. Gay icons. Any gay icons in this movie? We got Jackie O,
Parker Posey. I think Tori Spelling has some sort of gay fandom.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Rachel Lee Cook.
Sure.
She's Josie and the Pussycats. Oh, another yeah. Parker Posey movie. And she's all that. Another Freddie Prinze Jr. movie. Oh, it's a real God. Venn
Talk
diagram.
About incest.
Yeah.
Right? Hollywood casting is the issue.
A real incest in this movie.
What about Genevieve Bujold? I mean, I knew the name.
Yeah. She was like, in almost coma. Seems like she ought to be, but I didn't know, she seemed familiar, but I couldn't place her.
She's in Star Trek. Oh, she was rumored to play Janeway. Lost it to Kate Mulgrew. Well, that's something.
She wasn't.
But she wasn't. That's my story.
She reminded me of Tova Feltzu, but she wasn't Tova Feltzu.
Bless you. Who's Tova Feltzu? Have we seen a movie with her?
She was in...
Was she in Mistletoes and Menorahs?
She's mostly like a theater actress. Like I've seen her in a lot of plays and stuff like that. That's what she's mostly known for. But she does do a lot of film and TV as well. She played Rachel Bloom's mother in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She does look very much like what's her name? Genevieve Bujold?
Genevieve Bujold? Oui, oui.
Genevieve Bujold.
Who's Canadian, by the way.
Disappointing.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like I don't know, does 65% feel accurate? Just like proportionally for, like, there's so few people in this movie and it feels like we've cut, like, I'm going to say 65.
I think that sounds good because I think Parker Posey definitely, I think Tori Spelling has some, Jackie O.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not in it, but she's obviously like in it. I don't know. She's,
Is she a gay icon?
I mean, I almost feel like she's so big, she's just an icon. You know what I mean? She's almost like, she belongs to every, like, she's not an exclusive, like, oh, the gays love her. Like, everybody loves Jackie O.
Right. And I also feel like she's more, like, an older generation's definitely more for her. You know what I mean? More so than maybe kids now. I don't,
so she's
I don't
right up your alley.
I don't know how she'd pop off on TikTok.
probably terrible. Just like a grave? Is that what it would be?
You could sort of see... Drag Race, like Runway Challenge based on Jackie O.
Be a runaway challenge.
Just a lot of pillbox hats.
Everybody with a pillbox hat.
You know, they got to put that Eternal Flame on TikTok. They go live on TikTok. Just have that set up. If you want to get the JFK brand out there, live feed of the Eternal Flame. That's just my pitch to the JFK Foundation. I'm interviewing to be their social media manager. John, what do you want to give it for gay icon?
I'll also give it a 65. That feels about right.
65. I think if we've learned anything, I think Parker Posey is up there. So I'm going to give it a 77.
Ooh.
Alrighty.
Great. Give an average of, get this, 69.
Disgusting. Oh my gosh. We should get bonus points.
Yeah. Ding, ding. All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
There's not a whole lot. You do get some Freddie Prinze Jr. nipple.
A little bit.
You get
of
that
nip.
One weird shot where Josh Hamilton's pants are just open. Like, like his zipper is down, but it's not like.
That's almost more upsetting than like a lot of, you know, it's like, oh, you got to fix that. You know?
It's like too specific.
This is your
or
living
something.
Room.
You're like, yeah, like you could close your, you close the button, but not the zipper. And I don't like that.
This whole movie is, I just read a V.C. Andrews book, My Sweet Audrina. And this whole movie is almost like a V.C. Andrews comedy where like the mother is like almost, this could very easily be a gothic thriller.
Well, I don't
but
know
it's played
Andrews.
For black com. She wrote Flowers in the Attic, you know, where the kids get locked by their crazy grandmother and have sex with each other.
Oh, yeah, that's very.
It's all, this is like just basically V.C. Andrews for fun.
Yeah.
A whimsical.
A touch of whimsy.
But yeah, we don't really seem that interested in a male body in this movie.
No,
it doesn't
not
seem
really.
Like it. I'm gonna give it like a 28.
28.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 20.
Mm. 20. I mean, Freddie Prinze Jr. is adorable in this.
He is.
He is.
But too many layers.
Yeah.
Well, this is that era too layers. Where everything was baggy and just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Everyone looks nuts.
And like, you gotta be sweaty under the.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 23. Give it an average of 23.67. All right, next category, entrances with pizzazz. I was going to think there's a few. I think Marty coming home and Jackie immediately pouncing on him.
Yeah.
Right.
I also like the mom entering with all the candles on a tray.
Oh, yeah, that's pizzazz. Yeah. So it's sort of a gothic pizzazz.
Yeah. It's sort of a gothic pizzazz.
It's like a theatricality. I don't know.
Yes,
yeah, like,
indeed.
Miss Havisham realness.
Spooky entrances. Yeah. Like when like Freddie Prinze Jr. sort of, I guess it's not pizzazz to appear in someone's doorway and spy on them.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Multiple times. What is that? Because there were a lot of that kind of entrance.
Lingering Freebies. With intensity.
yes, a lot of lingering intensity.
It's not a particularly like pizzazzy movie. Like there's some fun like lighting later on, but like in terms of like, you know, effect, it's not like the most like, it's not like an emotional movie in a weird way. It's like almost like cerebral the whole time.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Like there's never like the horror of incest, you know what I mean? It's just like,
oh, right. Yeah, everyone's like super controlled except for Parker Posey and Tori Spelling.
Yeah,
like, but even Tori Spelling's not that upset when she finds out her fiance is like openly sleeping with his sister in family school with it, and she's like, "Well, I still want to make this work."
Yeah, she's like, right. "Let's just leave."
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. We still have to have it's Christmas.
I mean, if I were her,
I'd be like, "You know what?
Idea
call
incest.
The cab."
Yeah.
So entrances with pizzazz. I don't think it's very pizzazzy.
No.
I sort of, honestly, before we discussed it, I kind of thought there were more.
What's tough is like, they're all kind of in one place for so long. So it's not like they're keep going to new locations.
Right. There's just not a lot of entrances.
It's
really
not like to
not
the city,
of, yeah.
to the store,
yeah.
you know.
No.
To the cellar.
I'm going to say 30%.
30.
For like Marty's entrance. And I think the candles are pizzazz.
Yeah, that's true. I also like there's one shot where I can't remember who left and who came in, but it was either, I think it was Tori Spelling left and she like just walked into blackness. And then like right after her, Parker Posey like walked right in, like the camera didn't, it wasn't an edit or anything. And that was really fun, I thought. So I will give it a, but it's still kind of like more real grounded.
A muted pizzazz.
It's a muted pizzazz.
Yeah. I'm going to go 36.
36. I'll go 28. Given an average of 31.33, which is 22.33 points lower than Fame. Mm. All right, our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety would this movie give Mike Pence?
I mean, I think 100.
I think
or
lot.
Maybe like, I'm going to say 95 because they live in a nice house and I think Mike Pence would like that.
Well, this is his world in a way, you know,
in some
DC.
Ways, yeah.
The right. Kennedys, he like, he might, you know, okay, I'll say actually 92 because I think he would like the Jackie O footage. I think he would sort of like all the archival footage before it ends up being, but then he'd be quite upset when it's not what he thinks he is, when it's not what he thinks it is. 95. Yeah.
A 95. You talked yourself 95, into
95. 95.
Okay. Out and back into it. Yeah, I was thinking the incest obviously would freak him out.
Would it though? Because it's even not like a damning portrayal. Like the movie itself doesn't seem to come down too hard on incest. It's almost like this is what they do.
Yes. It really does make it seem like just like everybody's family is
well, they're rich.
Stuff.
Right. Yeah.
You
know,
like,
you know,
yeah.
We all,
yeah. She just has a webbed toe. All right. Yeah.
Okay. You know, you go home and you just kind of like revert to your old behavior. Like I'm always yelling
right,
at my mom.
Exactly.
Mm. And then I sleep with my brother.
Play with Legos.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't seem weird until I bring someone else home, an outside home.
To give you an outsider look at this suddenly made me go, oh, wait a minute.
Am I unusual?
I actually think that the Kennedy footage might upset him being a vice president and might be like, oh, that's so real.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 90. I'll go 90.
Would love to see Mike Pence say, that's so real. Well, this was reviewed by Christian Spotlight on the movies.
Okay, what'd they say?
It was very offensive. But they gave it a 3 out of 5 on movie making quality. And, you know, I'd agree with them on that. I think they nailed it. But yeah, I'll give it a 94.
I think Mike Pence would hate this movie.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Given an average of 93, which is the highest we've had in the last four movies.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
All right.
Our next one, Hell on Heels. Some of this, we mean feisty ladies.
I mean,
well, there's Jackie O.
Yeah.
Even the mom.
She's pretty feisty.
She's a nut. Feisty.
Yeah. She can't remember anything to say. She's forgetful.
She doesn't remember what's in those croissants.
Yeah. Yeah. She's really rude to Tori Spelling.
Super rude.
She's so rude. I love what she says. What she's like, well, I've talked to her for 37 seconds and I don't think you should marry her. Like, it's like simultaneously like digging at her and like sort of dismissing her son's like insistence that she talked to his fiance.
This isn't that different from the Family Stone, really.
True.
No, you're right.
It's just those two. Like,
what do you
like
think
Leslie.
The mother's? What do you think the mother's end game was? Like, was she? Do you think she was upset because it was specifically Tori Spelling, or because it was just anyone who would have brought home would have been like,
I think it was
what about
interloper.
You and your sister?
I think that. I think yeah, anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
So I think she like since the husband left and like she seems like she had a breakdown.
No one do we think he left, or do we think she did kill him?
I think he left because the brother said he left on the day of the assassination.
But then later, when everything's coming out, he said, no, she killed him and buried him. Remember in like the air duct?
Yeah.
Something like by something the... being...
At the very end, right before Parker Posey shoots him?
Yes. In the like the one of the last big sort of breakdown fight scenes.
Yeah.
I think it did. I think she did kill him.
Yeah, I kind of do.
I think
too.
There's like crazy throughout.
It's very theatery, like that, like,
yeah.
That sort of like set of dialogue, because it's like she's gonna they're like all fighting, but it's when like right. Parker Posey's like, here's what I think happened, and then her brother's like, that's
she's
not
confused.
What happened, but like you can like see it on the page, you can like hear it at a table read, you can hear people being like, I really think the play really came alive at that part. I really good job, Wendy. I
it
love
came
that
alive in the last 3 minutes.
Worth the wait.
Worth the wait.
No, I think it definitely, because I think he tried to leave on that date and then she killed him.
She killed
and
him.
And buried his body in the backyard.
That's what I think too. So that's feisty.
That's
pretty
feisty.
And she's like pretty straight feisty. Out of the 1800s.
I know. She's like Edith Wharton with a scrunchie. That like big brown scrunchie. So, but then I guess Tori Spelling, definitively not.
No.
Well,
like a little spunky at the end, but at first she's very demure and very.
But she's still even willing to take this guy back. You know what I mean? She's still, I don't know. That's not very feisty. You gotta stick out, have some self-respect, honey.
Yeah. So that's,
And that's 2/3 of the women.
That is
and the women are more than half the movie.
I'm going to give it a 70 for feisty women, because I just feel like the degree of feistiness we're getting from Parker Posey, like, sort of ups the feist factor for everybody.
Absolutely. I think also,
what is this, a broken social scene record? Got to up the feist factor.
I'm going to go 80 for that, because I think there's just, actually, I'm going to go 85, because I mean, she kills her brother at the end.
Yeah. That's feisty. But
that's
I think she's going to live to
on heels.
I think she'll live to regret that and be haunted for the rest of her life.
House of Regret, the sequel.
Yes.
More like House of Mess.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to clean up.
I'll give it an 80. Give an average of 78.33, which is the lowest in the last.
Wait, can I make
movies.
Mine higher?
Of course.
You guys, I feel like I also want to change. I want to change mine to 80.
80.
All righty.
Still the lowest.
Can I make mine 200?
No. It's actually not. It got 81.67. Gremlins 2 has 81.33. And that has a female gremlin.
That's true.
But not as high as Scream 3, which is a 93.33. And that has Gale Weathers and Parker Posey. Tough. So that's tough to beat. Yeah. All right. The next one, Chosen Family. I mean, this is, no one chose to be in this family. They were born into it.
No.
Although Josh Hamilton does say to Tori Spelling at one point, you're my family.
Yes. He's trying
to. So they
to
are
choose
choosing
her.
To make a family, the two of them. Yeah. So there's not nothing.
But in the end, they didn't.
Well, that's because he was.
He's dead.
Killed. He got killed.
That's sort of taken out.
He did get
but
killed.
But also, like, the fact that he was like, I'm choosing her to be part of my family caused the events to go where they went.
But it's not, it's just like a couple. It's not like a huge, it's not like a band of outsiders coming
I'm
together.
I'm not saying it's 100, but I'm saying it's not nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like if you were to say something, what's an example of a chosen family? Watch House of Yes.
House of Yes.
Yeah, this is not.
First thing out of my list.
No, it really
is. Said.
Discussion over.
It's sort of
I
like
won't have any follow-up questions. I will not entertain them.
I'm going to say 20.
20.
Yeah. I'm going to go 25.
25. Insane scores. I'm giving it a 6. Isn't it a...
There's a discussion. You could use this if you were teaching a course on Chosen Family. I think one of the weeks you could watch this as a piece of
when
work.
When a substitute teacher's in.
But couldn't she just show
go,
any
this
rom-com?
Won't be on the test.
Couldn't she just show any, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? Like,
well, they're too long. This is the class, but only 85 minutes. You can't show anything that's longer than that.
Yeah, there's no 90-minute rom-com. You're right.
And this and Josh Hamilton is so desperately trying to create a chosen family to escape from
is
like,
he
the
desperately
toxic
trying
diet.
Is he desperately or is he willingly trying. Engaging in doing his JFK foreplay all the time with his
but
sister.
What do you think that he knew this was gonna happen? Like, he must have known that bringing a fiance home was gonna cause his sister, who was insane.
I think maybe there's a part of him that wanted him like out of it, like maybe like get this out of me, because you know I only know this duality. You know, I'm half a person without my twin.
Mm-hmm. No,
she's
you know
the crazy
what?
One. I'm the stable one. That's why we're attracted to each other.
No, you're right. Because I feel like that like weird little snippet at the end where we like hear like where we see Rachel Lee Cook for the last time, and she's like, "Stop! I don't want to do this anymore." And he's like making her.
But didn't you think by her expression, she's like, stop, but she's like got this devilish smile. Like she doesn't want him to stop.
She's being coquettish.
Yes.
Coquettish.
Yes. But he's also like a driver of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Like makes me think that you're right, Mark, that like he kind of, there was like a part of him that knew this was going to happen when he came home and kind of wanted it to happen this way.
Because he didn't have to go home.
No.
He didn't have to bring her home. But I also think like he knew that that gun was loaded when he agreed to do the role play again at the very end. Don't you think?
Yes.
I think he knew he was blanks, about to, though, don't you think?
I think he thought there was a good chance that he was going to get murdered.
I didn't get that, but maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I think he was trying to appease her so she didn't just shoot him right away.
I got the sense that he knew that it was at least possible that there were real bullets in the gun now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of, let's move on to Macabre. How macabre is this movie? I'd say it's fairly macabre.
I mean, you got incest. You also got sleeping with two different brothers.
Yeah.
You got JFK assassination role play.
I mean, you got that Tori Spelling's dress.
Tori Spelling's dress.
Yeah.
It's a Miramax like movie.
Almost cool. Like that dress.
John.
Yes.
I feel like there's like, it just needed one other element and you could see it being like
a bonfire.
No, there was something else you could have done. It was like one or two steps away from being something that
one
someone
or two
could
steps
pull off.
Being tossed into the trash.
It needed a tweak. I don't know what the tweak is.
But like something else. Like it needed something for the bottom. Or just, there was something that was like almost.
A veil?
That's what I loved about it. That it was like almost, you could almost see it being super cool or like avant-garde in a weird way.
You know,
it's like I watched,
almost.
I'm really into almost something. Apple TV's Dickinson. And this is my, I'm inspired. Like doing like.
Right.
Wasn't like a dark academia like the hot new like fashion thing right now? Have you heard of this dark academia?
No.
Dude,
look up dark. It's all like people who are like, I want to look like bookish and like, you know, have like leather shoes and like Catholic schoolgirl skirts and like wool tights and like, but I'm edgy. I'm still into goth stuff. Look up dark academia. It's the hot new thing. It's all over Pinterest. I'm trying to get JFK's family to really get into dark academia. I think it'll be good for them.
Okay.
So what do you want to give this for macabre? I think it's pretty macabre, personally.
Yeah, I think
there is a murder at the end.
Am I supposed to go? I feel like I keep going first with the numbers because I thought that was
to.
How it was supposed to. Okay,
you're
I
correct.
Wasn't sure. So that I've been sort of deliberately delaying in case that's not what I'm supposed to do.
No.
Now I'm okay. I think it's, I want to give it a 90 for Macabre.
90, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 96. I think there's very little about it that's not macabre. Like, it's also just steeped. I mean, like, there's like candles in the middle. Like, there's a thunderstorm.
Right.
There's incest.
Yeah.
There's candles. There's maybe a body buried in the back. There's weird role play.
Yeah, I'll give it a 95. Give it an average of 93.67.
Okay.
Which is not as high as Fame, which got a 94.33. Poor Irene Cara. Well, that's how gritty New York was in the 70s.
That's true. All that graffiti.
Oh, trash cans. All right, the next category, dramatic lighting. Well, we got the lightning storm when the lights are flickering out. That's fun. And then the candlelight.
Candlelight. There's definitely.
And then it coasts through the ends of it.
Yeah, but I do think, I mean, I would almost say the lighting is exclusively dramatic. Yeah, there's like no, true. I mean, maybe the lighting is just macabre, but I want to give it, I'm going to give it another 90 for dramatic lighting.
90.
I think the lighting is the sixth character in the movie. That's what I always say.
Bill, just under Rachel Lee Cook. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it an 85.
85. I'll give it an 88. Given an average of 87 point, no, I'm going to give it 78, sorry. Given an average of 84.33. What happened? That's quite a drop. Because I feel like it doesn't like evolve much throughout the movie.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. Okay. It's moment to moment.
You kind of see all dramatic, its tricks in the first 30 minutes.
You're right.
Of what we're going to get. Right.
Once those, long candles come out, you don't really go anywhere from there.
No. They're just, that's all just going to taper off. Mm-hmm. Given an average of 84.33. All right. The last of the canon categories. Madeline, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The House of Yes to a gay person?
I'm going to say 95, but it's only because in our intro, both of you described this as like the favorite movie of like, John, you said your husband and Mark, your ex.
Yeah.
So I'm
future ex, Mark's current.
I hope everything's okay.
We're fine. Everything's fine.
For that reason, I'll say 95, and I would recommend it.
That's a good. I really like that reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll also give it a 95. I don't think it's like. I'll give it a 93. I think Parker Posey's performance is so great. And I think it is one of her top, and I think it's so worth seeing. I think the movie is very good, but it's not like, yes, for me. It's not quite a full house of yes.
House of yes.
More like an apartment of yes, an Airbnb of yes.
A Vrbo.
Exactly. So yeah, 93 for me.
Yeah, I'll give it a 90. A 90? Yeah, I think gay people would like this. Because it's like also like perverse, like fuck the like conventional family unit. You guys are the sickos.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. Yes. Chosen family. This is it's an advertisement for Chosen.
Look how
family.
Twisted the non-chosen family yes, is. Yes. The forced family.
It makes sense exactly. As part of my syllabus. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, got a 92.67, which is the highest of the last four movies, higher even than Scream 3, which got a 90.67, a real squeaker. All right, now we are into the wheel category.
So these categories are all categories previous guests have brought in, and we put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So we're going to spin it once. Whatever category randomly pops up, that we will use that to judge House of Yes. Then I will pick a category from the wheel, which we will use. Then Mark will pick a category from the wheel. And finally, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel to use to judge House of Yes and potentially future movies. Remember what we were talking about earlier? It's all coming back. Here we go. All right, so I'm spinning that wheel.
Like Celine Dion, it's all coming back to me now.
No, thank you. Now I understand.
Now you understand.
Okay. Here we go. From The Man from U.N.C.L.E., All That Jazz, songs you would dance to in a club.
Were there songs in this movie?
There was the piano time.
They're playing like chopsticks.
Oh, when I hear chopsticks at the club, hold me back.
Hold my beer because I am hitting that floor.
It's making me laugh really hard thinking about
it. We can do everyone
a club remix of chopsticks that totally takes off. That would be amazing. Chopsticks club remix.
Yeah, I don't remember any like pop songs in this, right?
I don't think there's anything. I don't think there were.
It's just like treacly piano. This movie could take place in the 1800s, so you wouldn't have to change much.
No, you wouldn't.
All the
worry,
we have no power, we have no phone. And then finally you go outside and like, they're in a neighborhood.
I know that one shot at the end where like she's running outside. I was like, oh.
I thought they were like on an estate, like removed from people. It's like, oh, they're in like, they are not as isolated as I thought.
No, no.
Okay, I just looked up. There is a soundtrack to House of Yes. Oh,
sure.
None of these tracks are actually songs, but they're just like the music from the movie. It's not like pop songs.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
Here's some of the track listing. A Sneak, About Incest, Candles, Don't Forget, Drenched, Duck Babies, Get Out, Hurricane Sweet, I Could Stay, I'm Talking, Jackie's Hunt, Leslie Escapes, Leslie Marty 1, Leslie Marty 2.
Well, I'm
get me on the floor.
Seems like they really like stretched for a soundtrack. I hope some of those are just clips of dialogue.
None of them are longer than 3 minutes. Most of them are under 30 seconds.
I think the score is really low. I'll give it a 10. I'm in it because I do want to leave a small window open for chopsticks.
Because maybe that would do it. Maybe we're sleeping on something.
Yeah. I'll give it a 10 as well.
10. I'm going to give it a 2. Nothing. Give it an average of 7.33. And we did have this category recently for fame. And that got a 75.
Right. Oh,
well, good one for fame.
All right, now it is time for John to choose a category.
Yeah, so the category I'm choosing comes from the movie Ginger Snaps, and the category is weird line deliveries.
Oh.
I think this movie is full of them. I think right at the very top.
All that affectation.
Very affected, all that theateriness to it. And also there's this one moment, which I actually did think was charming, and even though it was like very like, for me was when Josh Hamilton first starts playing the piano and Parker Posey sits next to him and joins him, and they do this sort of banter that felt very like Noel Coward. Like,
I loved it.
Let's get to this. Oh, da da da. Like, it was really fun. It felt like a routine that they had done as childhood that they just sort of like slipped into again.
I think this movie
has a ton of weird line deliveries throughout it, and part of it is the theatricality of it, of the writing. Part of it is just the Parker Poseyness of it all. But I think it's full of them. There's so many just weird clips, takes on the script that I loved.
I agree. I mean, I would give it a 98. 98?
Line
delivery, yeah.
Yeah, I will go 98 as well.
98. Sure, I'll go 98. Why not? Who am I to rock the boat? Given an average of 98. And now I'm going to pick a category. This is from Mermaids, Forbidden Love.
Oh, my God. Well, guys, I mean, I think this gets a full 100.
100.
Well, no, actually 99, because it's forbidden by everyone, but the mom doesn't seem to care. She seems to think it's really sort of
she seems to prefer
laugh.
It.
Yeah. So a 99,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go 100 because not only is the incest sort of forbidden, but the fact that Tori Spelling sleeps with her fiance's brother.
This is
that
true.
Is also forbidden. So I'm going full hundo. Oh,
the mom's more upset by that.
Yeah. Yes. And also this is like sort of much more run of the mill forbidden love, but like there's that runner of the mom having like slept with like a million other men sort of outside of her marriage.
I'm not sure if they're full brothers. Yeah.
I'm back up to 100.
All right.
I'm back.
Can you imagine that audacity of them going like, well, you slept with his brother. I'm like, they're incest. Don't worry, getting mad at these are not the same.
This
How
is not the craziest
you?
Thing to happen.
Yeah. That's I am crazy. Not the worst person in the room.
No.
I'll give it 100. Give an average of 100. Nice. All right, Madeline, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can add to the wheel and possibly make it a bonus or a canon category in the future.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Depending on how good it is.
So I've been thinking about this and I'm a little torn on my categories. So my like first thing I was thinking of is like, we need to come up with like a catchier title for it, but like a lot of the, like some of these like little lines felt like you could really hear like a drag queen saying them on like a confessional, you know, like on like a drag race confessional, or, like, like one of them that I wrote down was like the line, like Parker Posey's line, they switched me. I used to be green. Now I'm brown. I wanted my pills to match my eyes. Color me beautiful. Like you could just sort of like see a lot of these just felt like perfect sort of bizarro drag, maybe drag queen catchphrases. Is that
drag queen
make that a category?
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my category. My other category was going to be, I was going to try to cheat and say incest, cause I thought it could get a high score.
Sure.
It could.
We'll go with drag queen catchphrases.
All right. So what would you give House of Yes and drag queen catchphrases?
I think like an 88 for me, because I do think a lot of the dialogue could be like some quippy.
I could also see them using, like, you know, like in some drag acts, they take dialogue and interweave it with the song.
Put it into the song.
You could totally do that with this.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff in here you could, yeah.
I wanted to see, I feel like someone could do a good lip sync to like that intro, the Rachel Lee Cook intro of like Jackie O running around the whole house. Yeah, and then in that moment where she like jumps towards the window, that's when your song starts.
Oh yeah. You should
little pitch if someone wants to do
it.
All right. Put it out for the listeners.
Think about it. Yeah.
John, what do you want to give it for drag queen catchphrases?
You gave an 88. I'll give it an 88 as well. Yeah. I think there's a lot of fun stuff.
An 88. Yeah, sure. I'll give it 88.
Great.
Give an average of, guess what? An 88.
What?
All right. Now we are into the bonus categories.
Extra. So these categories, as the name implies, they are bonus. So it's just going to be 0 to 10. We're scoring it now. And this sort of that percentage bonus will be added to the score. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it doesn't work against the overall score.
Okay.
So
don't freak out. Don't storm out of the room.
Okay, no promises. Honestly, this movie's already like performing worse than I kind of thought it would be, largely thanks to its like entire lack of any gay characters.
It's tough.
That'll sneak up on you.
Element. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, the first one, musical potential. Could you see the House of Yes becoming a musical? I mean, has there ever been a whole row of dancing Jackie O's?
Not that I know of, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I haven't seen every show.
Well, let me know. Did you ever see the House of Yes on stage?
I did not, but I was looking when it was on stage in off Broadway. Allison Janney was the mother.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah, because I was curious, because as I was watching, I was like, did Parker Posey do this on, like, I could see her doing this for like 3 months in some like off Broadway theater in New York, but no, 100%. She didn't.
Just 3 months.
A short, yeah. I mean, she's got movies. She's got movies.
She got money to make.
But she could do a little stint at the Public or
for some street cred.
You know, absolutely.
Completely. I think it would be a great musical, honestly. I think like
so easy.
Yeah. And yeah. I think honestly, having it be a musical would probably like fill out some of the slight elements of the story.
Because
like I feel like you could have like some kind of surreal musical number that like maybe like highlights the ambiguity surrounding whether the husband was killed and like I mean, there could absolutely be like that like fantasy sequence of like Tori Spelling and Josh Hamilton's like, I mean, so, like describe me a Sunday or whatever. That's enough.
Will you describe
right
me
there.
A Sunday?
Yeah. And every character gets a turn at their Sunday. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And Jackie O's is, you know, kooky. I'm going to say 10. I would like to see a musical.
10. That's huge.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 9. I think it could definitely be a musical.
It could almost be like, you know, a diegetic because they got that piano right there.
Yes. That's true. My gosh. Yeah. Yes.
It's already in the world.
Yeah. It's already in the world. We don't have to all of a sudden go, why are they singing?
Yeah.
It happens in every musical, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'll give it a 9. Give it an average of 9.33, which is the highest we've had in the last 4 movies. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
The next one.
Higher
queer,
than Fame. Wow.
Higher than Fame. Well, Fame was judged on how good the songs are.
Oh,
because that is a musical, and that
sort
only
of
got,
unfair. Really.
That got an 8. All right, the next one, Queer Menace.
What is a queer menace?
It comes from Bride of Frankenstein, and typically it means like some queer outsider is threatening this town or like this community's like sense of, you know, like
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
It's sort of like a good example of that. Like, who is this weirdo coming into our town?
But we're rooting for them. The audience is rooting for them.
Yeah.
We're not rooting for these twins.
I mean, there's a way in which you could argue if there is a menace, it is Tori Spelling because she's this outsider coming into this.
But she's the opposite
dynamic.
Of queer. She's like a
I agree.
Normal
I'm
menace.
Just saying like she would be the menace, but she's not queer.
Yeah.
And she's barely a menace. Like they're not really worried. Like she's not coming downstairs. No one's like worried about getting caught by her.
Right. And also no one's being like, you can't tell anyone. They're like, no one cares what you say. You work at a donut king.
Yes. Yeah,
covered
from
in powdered
Pennsylvania.
Sugar. God forbid.
I love
You've
that line.
Pancakes.
Pennsylvania is like the state you have to get through when you're trying to get anyone anywhere else. It's like perfect, perfect Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I think it's a zero.
As a West Coaster, I didn't understand that reference.
Oh,
no,
I mean,
that's right.
I spent my childhood driving through Pennsylvania. It is true.
Is it not nice? Are you ready to condemn the entire state?
It's fine.
It's fine. Oh, it's
fine.
Just long. It's like a
long,
little nothing.
It's this long rectangle and there's really not much to look at. But it's all the same of the same thing that you're looking at.
But you got Hershey Park.
Sure. If you pull off.
Yeah. But like it does, and it does sort of seem that almost, even if it doesn't really geographically make sense, like anywhere you drive, somehow you're going through Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a haunted house. Like it almost, yeah. I think it probably gets
well,
like,
you gave it a zero. I thought, oh,
yeah.
No?
Yeah. Okay. I said zero.
Zero.
I'll also give it a zero.
I'm going to give it a zero. Given an average of zero. All right. Our next one. I think you make up some points here. Character actress makes a big swing.
I mean,
Parker Posey.
Yeah.
Right. Even Genevieve Bujold is like a complete nut.
Yeah. And I would even say Tori Spelling, I know she's technically wasn't a character actress at the time of making this movie, but like, I thought she was taking a swing for what she normal from.
Especially
what
you compare her. This because she was nominated for Scream 2 in this. She's like totally different in Scream 2. And like she's playing typical Tori's. She's like,
yeah.
Dare I say has range?
Yes.
You can maybe a two top grill range, but she's got range.
There you go. So heat something up on it.
Yeah. You're going to heat something. You're going to be
you
fine.
You can make hot dogs on that for sure.
You can make a hot dog. Can you do a whole Thanksgiving dinner? Maybe not. You might
probably not
suffer.
You know,
utilize that microwave a little bit. Yeah. You know. A two-person home, she'd be great.
Yes.
I will also give it a 10.
A 10. Yes, I will also give it a 10. Give it an average of 10. All right, the next category, witches. How witchy is this movie? Well, the mother is like a big, she looks like a witch, and it's just like a witchy air about her.
Yeah. Those also just like the candle delivery alone is quite witchy.
Right?
And there's like a witchiness.
I mean, anytime you've got like a thunder and lightning.
Yeah. There just is a general sort of bubble, toil and trouble vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet there was Eye of Newt in those croissants is what it was.
100%. I'm going to give it can I give it a 6.5?
A 6.5?
Yeah.
You absolutely can.
Okay. Great.
I'm going to give it a 2 for all of that.
Ouch.
Oh.
Eat fair. Shit, mom. I'm gonna give it a 5 because I would even say there's something a little witchy about like evoking like Jackie O in a way, you know what I mean? Like evoking
ritualistic.
Yeah, sure. There's something to that. Give it an average of 4.5. All right, our next category. This one might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles. Mm-hmm. There's
like
no gay actor.
Zero.
That's a clear
zero.
Cut and dry.
Yep.
Okay. It doesn't work against it.
But it certainly doesn't help.
Doesn't help.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe this will be better. Themes of mothers.
I mean,
well, it's more sibling than mother, but
yeah.
She's part of the equation.
I did like how she didn't want like a hairbrush on the same floor as the food.
That was amazing.
There's that line up top where like she's like, oh, I said you're thin. I'm acting like a mother.
And isn't that
like,
crazy?
You are a mother. Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
You know, I'm going to give it a 7.
A 7?
I think there's a lot. I would imagine if you spoke to Wendy McLeod, there's a lot cooked in that maybe we're not sort
was
of
lost
fully
from the stage to the screen.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, because there's a
I
lot.
I mean, Allison Janney's not just doing a nothing role off Broadway.
No, and like all of this obvious, like their whole dynamic is like somehow connected to like their mom possibly killing their dad, and like she feels like she's enabling a lot of this whole dynamic. So it just seems like if you take the mother out of the puzzle, it's
because maybe
totally
at a neat like she was like, I need to, everyone knows what I've done, so how do I keep this unit tight and together? Like, well, we all have our secret. I'm gonna let you guys go now. And the weird thing is Parker Posey has an identical twin in real life, so him going seeing this movie must have been strange.
Super weird.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, it wouldn't be an identical twin if they're different.
Or she's got a twin. She's got a twin. I'm not a geneticist. Never claimed to be.
I'll give it a 5.
A 5. Yeah, I'll give it a 5. She's kind of like a specter. Like she kind of comes and goes. And
right.
Haunts.
It's not quite haunting.
Give it an average of 5.67. All right, the next one. Drinks thrown in faces. I mean, they're kind of like rude.
They're
rude, but they don't want to spill anything.
I mean, shooting your brother is kind of the ultimate drink thrown in the face.
I suppose.
It's a bit of a kiss off.
They're very catty about the name of the wine.
Right. But, and they're like, is she drinking? She shouldn't be drinking. Take that away.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 2 because I know that there wasn't a drink thrown in a face, but I feel like there was.
Right. But they're almost like too like waspy, or like they would never be so like outright or upfront with their
so theatrical. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're like a little too repressed. It's all of a tight verbal drink.
They're like too, they're too repressed and not perhaps. Repressed enough. Yeah.
They're repressed in all the wrong ways.
The worst kind of repression. Yeah. I'll give it a 1.
A 1. Yeah, I got to give it a 1. Finally, quips. How quippy is this movie?
This movie's very quippy.
It's pretty quippy. It's like all quips.
Yeah. I love when the mom said, people raise cattle, children just happen.
Yes.
I like the one when he says like, oh, she's the donut queen. Oh, so she's like the queen. Are we entertaining royalty? What an asshole. Mm-hmm. Pretend he's not my brother. I do.
I do all the time.
It's like 5 minutes into the movie.
Right.
Yeah. I know. They really like don't hold it back at all. Yeah, but there's so many quips.
Yeah.
So what would you give it?
10.
10? A 10?
Yeah.
I would give it with Adam's Family Values. Another Thanksgiving movie.
That's true. I'll give it a 9.
A 9. Yeah, I think the quips are like one of the main reasons to watch it. It's like the quips with the weird perverse stuff that kind of is like the interesting flavor of the House of Yes. Well, it got a 9.33, which is the highest in our last 4 movies.
Wow. Alrighty.
Even higher than Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Oh.
All right. Nice. Then now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories are the large umbrella categories that loom large. So we're going to rate them from 0 to 200.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
If you can imagine.
Wow.
Can you?
All right. The first one. How would you rate the House of Yes in homoeroticism? It's grim.
Doesn't do well.
It doesn't do well in homoeroticism.
Not even the incest is even heterosexual.
Yeah. I mean,
even the incest is heterosexual.
Even the incest. And there's like, and then there's zero chemistry between the brothers. I mean, which is like,
right?
Like there's like, even there's like weird chemistry between Parker Posey and Freddie Prinze Jr. Even because I feel like
definitely
he really like wants in on like their twin thing. But like even
that is a weird, funny dynamic to be like, how come no one's fucking me?
Yeah, yeah. But even that feels so like, sort like he's staying home to take care of her. Like he doesn't really seem to care about his brother. So like there, I feel that there would be potential there, but I think it's really not tapped at all. Like,
right.
So, I mean,
no,
I'm
going to
give it
Freddie
like a 5 because I feel like in case I missed something.
Fair enough. I'll do 5 for in case I missed something as well.
We didn't miss anything. I'll give it 3. We were spot on. Give an average of 4.33, which is the lowest in the last 4.
Really
even
bad.
Lower than Fame, which has a 19.33.
Oh, whoa.
All right, the next one. Might make up some points here. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch House of Yes and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I mean, there's the Jackie O of it all.
Yeah.
I guess, but also like that didn't like I guess how would you do?
Saying.
You'd have to have a gun.
How do you specifically
and, like, use?
Make it
well, you can like use the quips. I think that would probably be pretty straightforward.
I think the quips. I do think the, like the you be him, like I'll be her. Like you could do. There's like something. I feel like there are like a couple,
play
like really like dramatic moments that you could like use for like I don't know some kind of lip sync.
The assassination of Kennedy should be the next Rusical, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm the magic bullet.
It'll be 25 minutes long.
Yeah. Terrible.
No, and nobody will want the part of like the two Secret Service officers because like everything they do is together and their song is bad.
Yeah. And we've been fighting all season.
No, I like thought it would be high because I do feel like the Jackie O element is like there is promising, but it's like just that one outfit too. It's like not even
because
like,
they're also there's not a lot of costume changes or anything.
Right, but
you would like if you were doing Night of a Thousand Parker Poses, you would have to include this
100%.
Definitely.
100%.
I do think Spelling's little Amish number. There's something about it there that I could.
John's really smitten almost with there.
It's not good, but it's like almost good. Like I think it.
You
it,
love a doily and velvet together.
I do. Those are two of my favorite tastes that maybe don't always taste good together. But
out of 200, I don't maybe like a. I'm gonna say 100 out of 200 because I think there it's at least got like I think half it half
right.
is good.
Yeah, I'll also go 100 out of 200.
And just for like that poster, like you said, that iconic.
Yeah.
It's also that iconic like indie movie. Like,
yes.
When you're making a list of indie movies, even if you haven't seen the movie, you've probably
you're
seen
like,
that
this
poster.
Is an indie movie. This is a Miramax at that. This is like classic yes. Miramax at that time.
Classic yes. Miramax. Yes. I'll also give it 100. Give it an average of 100. And then finally, Camp Factor. How campy is the House of Yes?
There's, what do you guys think?
I don't know, Mark, what do you think?
Well, I have a quick list and this one's very quick. Here we go. Emulating Jackie Kennedy, White House tour, saying Jackie no without any awareness of that solid pun. A house with a harp, a mom kind of okay with her kids' incest, Jackie's hand holding Marty's penis when they come out of the womb, the betrayal of running waterproof mascara, aka the Erica Jane effect, sipping a glass of Chardonnay while playing the piano, actors clearly not playing piano, using the word déclassé, being really condescending to someone who thinks it's not right to fuck your twin, not recognizing the present tense, overly inquisitive future brother-in-laws. The most perverse thing about this movie is that it's set at Thanksgiving. It doesn't have a single turkey. Still wanting to marry a guy who happily sleeps with his sister without shame, really self-righteous, incestuous twins, and finally, two dorks recounting their lame Sunday. But overall, I don't think it's that campy. I mean, no, it's more quippy than campy. It's more macabre than campy. Yeah. But then it's also not macabre or campy enough in some
it's
way.
Like Parker Posey's kind of super campy, but it's in service of something. It's not, it's like her performance is out there, but it's what it's supposed to be. It's not out there in a way of like a Mommy Dearest where you're like, what is she doing? You're like, oh my God, what is she doing?
Right. It's out there, but she's playing a person who like every third line out of her mouth is like, I'm insane. Like,
right. Yeah.
Right.
It's, and I do feel like it's like there are like elements that make you think the movie will be more campy. Like
sure.
I honestly feel like maybe just the smartest thing this movie ever did was make that poster. Cause that makes me think it's going to be like full camp. And other than that suit and like the sort of like I almost feel like the first 10 minutes of it pack most of the camp for the rest
right.
of the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say a 60?
60.
Out of 200? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go 40.
40, a damning score. I'll give it an 80. Anytime you have someone doing Jackie O cosplay.
Yeah. Okay.
Give it an average of 60. And then finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we're not going to grade. We're just going to say we think it gets this bonus or it doesn't.
Okay.
The first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
No.
Doesn't have any portrayal.
No.
It has a better portrayal of twincest.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah. I honestly, Freddie Prinze Jr. is like so driven by his sister's accusation that he might be gay that he goes and sleeps with his brother's fiance.
I'll show her
sleeping with the only woman in this cast I'm not related to.
So I don't think it gets it.
No.
And then finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
I disagree.
You think it's Boat Trip?
No,
we haven't seen it yet, so we're not sure.
Maybe it is. I don't know. We haven't seen Boat
Trip. No, I've never seen Boat Trip.
All right. All right, Madeline, that's it. We're done.
So how are you think now that we've been through it? You still think we're getting 80%?
No, I think it's much worse. I think
it's
going to
be Pieces of April, 53.44.
I think it's going to be honestly like a squeaker. I think it's going to... I think it's going to just barely not beat Pieces of April.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, there are a lot of low lows and high highs, and I'm not good at math. So yeah. That's where that's
that's kind of how this movie works, though. Like when it works, and when it works, and then sometimes they're just a little middling. So I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,420.95 points, The House of Yes has scored 1,468.95, giving it a percentage of 60.68, making it the 67th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Mermaids, but gayer than Showgirls.
But definitely gayer than Pieces of April.
Definitely gayer than Pieces of April by about 7 percentage points.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to
happy
us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble. am I right?
You are right, Martha.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Am I right? Use that on your Thanksgiving dinner.
I mean, Bossy Rossi wishes he had that copy when he was watching that parade.
You were feeding him lines in an earpiece last year.
I mean, a dream job.
We'd all be talking about it still.
I love to be feeding Ross Matthews. Well, great.
Great.
Now we know. You're going to hang on. Well, last week,
wanna hang out?
Well, you want to hang out for five more minutes?
Yeah.
Last week, I asked our listeners, like, it came up during our Scream 3 discussion of, like, who do you think would be on Parker Posey's, the Mount Rushmore of, like, her four most iconic roles? Like, what would you want to see? And so I asked, and I've tabulated all the results.
Okay.
And these are the four clearest winners. This is the four biggest.
Okay.
The one with the most votes was indeed House of Yes.
Makes sense.
And then Best in Show.
Okay.
And then Waiting for Guffman.
Okay. Right.
And then tied with Waiting for Guffman is Josie and the Pussycats.
Huh.
Have you not seen Josie and the Pussycats, John?
I don't think I have.
It's fun. It holds up. I just watched it a few months ago. I really liked it.
I really want to rewatch that. I haven't seen that since it came out in theaters.
Oh, well, that's like...
I was in middle school.
What was Josie tied with?
Yeah, yeah.
Josie and the Pussycats was tied with Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, I see.
And then in fifth place was Party Girl.
I would take Best in Show off and put in Party Girl.
I've never seen Party Girl.
Party Girl is great.
I think, because here's why. I'll make my argument. I think... having two Christopher Guest movies on a Mount Rushmore seems like a lot. Mm-hmm. And while I understand some people think Best in Show is a better movie than Waiting for Guffman, which I don't agree with, but I understand why people think that. But I think it is undeniable that Parker Posey is better in Waiting for Guffman than she is in Best in Show. I think Waiting for Guffman, she's brilliant throughout. Best in Show, I think she's fine. I think she gets a little sort of yelly, especially by the end. Like, it's not so, they just sort of result to yelling. I think Waiting for Guffman throughout, she's perfect.
Well, there's more memes out of her character in Best in Show. So there you go.
Well, I guess it's maybe more quality instantly is iconic. There you go.
Well, the listeners hard disagree, John. Hard disagree.
Well,
there was also
not.
Only one vote for Faye Grimm. Rest in peace, Faye Grimm.
No one's talking about Dazed and Confused?
Four people were.
Okay.
Six. Then it was Clock Watchers. Okay. And then it was Blade Trinity.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then, I mean, she's a vampire. I think she's a vampire. I haven't seen that in forever. And then Superman Returns, Broken English, Day Trippers, and then Lost in Space, Mighty Wind, Will and Grace. Huh? And You Got Mail. Sure.
Oh, I forgot she was in that.
She's been in a million things.
No one's talking about As the World Turns.
No one's talking about As the World Turns.
Coneheads.
Wow. Nope. Well, there we go. It's been settled.
What do you think? Do you guys agree, disagree?
With the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
I agree with your tweak because I also feel like it's like, you can't over-index on Christopher Guest on the Mount Rushmore. So I feel like you...
Right.
It's,
it would be like, my favorite Hugh Jackman movies are X-Men, X-Men 2.
Yes. Yeah.
For me personally, like, if I'm looking at a Mount Rushmore, I would... just in terms of like the visual of it all, I feel like I would take Best in Show over Waiting for Grant just because those bangs and the braces are so severe and iconic.
Right.
And
I personally guess if you're prefer thinking just the visual of the Mount Rushmore.
But I also do prefer her work in Best in Show over Waiting for Guffman. But maybe I'm crazy.
I also prefer Waiting. I prefer Waiting for Guffman broadly as a movie and her performance in Waiting for Guffman. also.
I mean, I love them both, but I think I would go, I don't know. I love the J. Crew and the Apple people.
Yeah,
but I think like that's really funny. But then like once they get to the actual dog show, it becomes just yelling.
I like the yelling. I don't. She wants that busy.
To me, I just get a little bit like, okay, let's find a nuance. But
yeah. Everybody loves well, I hate well. Nuance. Is what we've
that's
learned.
True. That's one thing we've learned.
So yeah, well. Madeline, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, such a treat.
Oh my gosh.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for?
Oh gosh, you know, I don't know. I always, honestly, I always just, this is my brother. I have a younger brother and he's very funny and he's like on TikTok. And I think that's where like most of his content is.
Okay.
But I always just tell people to look at his Instagram because I just think he's really funny. And I think his
what's
Instagram,
his handle?
Hold on. Now I have to find it. Do you guys know I only have Instagram on my computer because I don't like to have it on my phone. It's That's like smart. Too invasive. So I only have it
Would
on
you
my
be
computer.
On it for oh.
I just don't
it's not
like
because you'd be on it forever or you just don't like the privacy issues.
Oh no, I'd be on it forever. It's like psychologically invasive. Oh, I see. Not, I don't care about privacy.
And now it says when you start up Instagram, it says Instagram from Meta.
Really?
Facebook, the parent company of Facebook changed their name.
Spooky. So I would say it's Evan_CakePop on Instagram. And then like, honestly, he's got some real, like, genuinely funny stuff on TikTok. That's I also have to look this up on my computer. Please,
you're doing
bear
it right.
with me. I'm plugging kind of like how embarrassing of a person I am. It's just Evan_Walter on TikTok. He's got a lot of funny stuff. So look at that. You'll like it.
All right.
All right. Check those out.
Great. Yeah. Well, support Madeline's brother, will you?
This is not incestuous at all.
God. Ew. I can't believe I plugged my brother on the House of Yes.
Ew. Madeline totally plugged her brother.
Ew.
Well, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TW Old Queens, and follow me on Letterboxd where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yeah, so you can email us at Two Old Queens, TWOOldQueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Do we get anything wrong? We'd love to hear from you. Are you into dark academia? Please let Mark know. He's very interested in making this movement happen. We also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it. We'll see you next time it's a movie that has four different names because I believe there were legal issues. At first it was All I Want Is Christmas. This is a Hanukkah movie, but it's also known as Switchmas. And it's also known as Ira Finkelstein's Christmas. So Whichever way you can find it, that is what we will be discussing. And that comes out the week of Hanukkah next week.
Very exciting.
So keep an ear out for that. And we'll see you next time, guys. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.